Outsourcing allows a data center to offload some of its operations to third-party service providers. It's often just the right solution when there's a shortage of space, power, or cooling. It's also a helpful way to shift work away from a small IT staff that needs to concentrate on more important projects. But an outsourcing initiative can also cause problems due to unmet expectations, an improper scope, poor vendor communication, and other factors. Hello, I'm Tom Wallet, site editor with SearchDataCenter.com, and to tell us more about outsourcing issues, I'm here with Pete Sclafani, Chief Information Officer with SixConnect, a network automation provider located in Redwood City, California. Pete, thanks for joining us.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Outsourcing project problems often start early, often when expectations for the project are being discussed. How should businesses go about defining and confirming expectations for outsourcing projects?
That's a great question. One of the biggest issues on this front is not having the right people in the room during this initial discovery process. It's so easy to focus on the subject areas that you're most comfortable with, but I've seen this get bungled in the past, so it obviously is something that you need to look at when looking at any sort of build-out or outsourcing project. The best example I have was during one client's data center build-out. They had consulted with only these systems and networking teams, but didn't involve their facilities team. The result was a data center footprint that could only support 50% of the load that they had built it for. The solution was simple. It was just a matter of confirming the load and heat signatures for the data center gear and talking with the facilities team to even out the load in the data center. But unfortunately, it all came down to basic communication issues, and that if they'd been done earlier in the process, would have saved the company downtime, revenue, and a lot of stress. The second requirement that I cannot stress enough is having an internal project champion, along with the designated subject matter experts that can help track down the knowledge and resources for the project to be successful. Any company has a history, and it's part of the personnel that work there. So involving them in the scoping stage is crucial to not only ensuring the project addresses the actual problem, but that you don't repeat mistakes from previous attempts.
Okay, so with that in mind, what are some strategies for managing and communicating with an outsourcing vendor?
I joke about it with my team that vendor management is less about checklists and Gantt charts and more about exchanging meaningful information. By using a communication method that is lightweight and gets to the right people, you'd be surprised how meeting times and frequencies can be modified so that everyone is productive and no one is being blocked. I think when it comes down to strategies around managing communication, I would start with defining the vendor types that you're going to be dealing with. Again, it's about finding the right mix of communication vectors for the team at hand. You don't want to assume anything, and it's helpful to have a good overview of the tools that you will need to be successful. The balance that I see is really around active and passive communication tools. Used together, they can be very beneficial to project teams and especially vendor management. I generally like having a project portal that is accessible to both internal teams as well as vendors. This way, everyone is on the same page and has access to the correct information. If it encompasses a task and ticketing system, even better. And of course, some basic milestone tools with reminders are a great way to publicly remind the team of the project status, as well as your management. This solution is one part of the puzzle, but it's a good baseline to at least have an environment to capture all of that data.
Okay, now, what are some warning signs of impending vendor problems? What kind of bad behavior can kill an outsourcing relationship? And when should you make the decision that it's time to jump ship?
That's a tough one, and unfortunately, it's going to depend on the vendor and also the outsourcing relationship and how you're introduced. My two biggest warning signs are a vendor that does not communicate and a vendor that can't manage their time well. If a vendor is not communicating in a timely manner, that is not a good sign, and chances are they're not communicating effectively to the rest of their team either. That means that you have to really manage that vendor to ensure that your expectations are clear, but also that you can plan on meeting your internal milestones. Bad communication means that you end up relying on heroics to get a project over the finish line. While this does, you know, usually get the project done, a more process-oriented approach with vendor transparency is much less stressful. Time management and communication issues have multiple symptoms, but the most obvious signs are missed milestones and no clear post-mortems for project issues. Those are obvious signs that whatever methods they're using are not working, and the last thing you want is the vendor learning on your dime, unless that is an understood condition.
Okay, so what happens when the relationship collapses? How should you go about switching vendors and minimize the short-term disruptions and long-term impacts on your business?
You know, ideally, you're going to attempt to salvage the relationship and the efforts that you've already applied. But you're right, if it's just not working out, you've got the unenviable position of transitioning the outputs of whatever you've done to date to another vendor and ramping them up, or you simply start fresh with another vendor and assume, pretend nothing happened, you're just, you know, now you're behind on schedule. So unfortunately, this is largely a function of deadlines and information quality. If the vendor issue centered on communication and competence, the project outputs to date may not even be usable or trustworthy. So again, if they've, you know, been really bad about communicating and maybe giving you bad data, you may not even be able to use whatever stuff they've already been working transitioning to another vendor midstream is even feasible, or if it does require you to start fresh. And also, just as a caveat, the new vendor that you would go with will definitely have an opinion on this, because they will obviously be dealing with those deadlines and that data, and they'll have their contract on the line as well. But no matter which way you go, there are always going to be delays, and your best bet is to kind of create what we call backout points for various milestones to ensure that your management team is aware of them. The good side is that it requires complete understanding of the project, so if you have the right people in the room, this is not as daunting a task as it may seem.
Okay, and finally, Pete, when is it time to simply pull the plug and bring those operations back in-house? What's the best way to approach that challenge?
So I think there are two answers here that you have to take into consideration. One is just purely business, and the other has a financial component. I think either way, it requires having some metrics in place, you know, which you would need for any outsourcing project. Because again, metrics are what's really going to help you drive what the purpose behind that project is. So bringing an outsourced operation back in-house just because is usually not a good idea, because it usually means that those metrics are either subjective or non-existent, which is typically a bad thing. On the business side, if your metrics are around expenses or customer satisfaction, then it's very easy to do the math and identify the breakpoint where it makes sense to move that service. Sometimes it may be cost-effective to outsource for a given time period. Let's say you outsource a call center for, you know, 9 months, you know, to give your revenues and cash flow a chance to ramp up. But other times it may be cost-effective to outsource, you know, on a permanent basis and just say, you know what, it's a commoditized product or service. So it's completely fine to outsource it completely. Like, let's say email hosting or something, right? You may say, I'm just going to have that hosted, you know, by Microsoft and kind of just wash my hands of it. On the financial side, you also have to look at the whys behind the outsourcing in the first place. From a financial perspective, maintaining a service expense may be more beneficial for the balance sheet than adding headcount. So get to know the CFO and ensure that their feedback is taken into consideration as well for outsourcing projects.
Okay, great. Thanks, Pete. That's all the time we have for today. I'm Tom Wallett, and you can learn more about data center outsourcing issues at searchdatacenter.com. Thanks for joining us.